reaction on the sham trial from constitutional law guru Hans von Spakovsky, former federal elections commissioner, senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, joins us now on the Davidson Family Dentistry Newsmaker line. Hans, I know you're busy. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. And yeah, I've been watching this just like everybody else. And Judge Merchan is making, as you said, he's making the U.S. and the New York court system look like a third world country.
It is absolutely amazing. Let me read you, I read this earlier in the show, but let me read you a couple of the live reporting tweets, and I want you to respond to them, because we're all confused as to how these jury instructions could be and could be legal, I guess, within the confines of the law. From John Roberts at Fox News, Judge Merchan just told the jury that they do not need unanimity to convict. Four could agree on one crime. Jonathan Turley says the judge just delivered the coup de grace instruction. He said that there is no need to agree on what occurred. They can disagree on what the crime was among the three choices. I've never heard of that. Please disabuse me of this nagging suspicion that this is not it does not comport with the law.
It doesn't. I mean, this is reversible error. This is such a mistake. This is such an erroneous jury instruction that I have to tell you that if Trump was convicted just based on that one instruction by this judge, if I was on the Court of Appeals, the moment the case came in, I would overturn the conviction. That is one of the craziest things I have ever heard. And it is, Matt, it is a complete violation of President Trump's substantive due process rights. Look, the standard in any kind of case, any kind of criminal case like this, is that you have to have a unanimous agreement by the jurors that a defendant violated a specific law. Mm-hmm. And yet here the judge is saying, well, if four of you think he violated one law, and four of you think he violated another law, and four of you think he violated another law, the fact that all 12 of you think he violated the law, well, that's enough. And that is just absurd.
Absurd is the word that I would use. Hans von Spakovsky, former federal elections commissioner and senior legal fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, joining us, trying to get our brains around what these jury instructions are. Where does, you know, you just said it, and I think most of the folks in this listening audience, when they heard about these jury instructions from the judge, they said the same thing. How do you get a 4-4-4 split? Is this the new math? How did he come by this? Is there any way of knowing that? Did he explain how he came by this new math of jury instruction?
No, he didn't. And he is either one of the most incompetent judges I've ever seen, or this is a sign of his intentional misfeasance. In fact, I think it's the latter, because throughout this entire case, he has acted as if he is an alternate member of the prosecution team. I mean, his constant rulings on evidence were all one-sided. Irrelevant evidence, prejudicial evidence the prosecution brought in was always acceptable. Evidence the defendants tried to bring in, he was always ruling it. Consider this. One of the things that the judge told the jury was that when you are considering other crimes that the president may have been trying to cover up, other crimes that he committed in order to falsify his business records, you can consider whether that unlawful means included a violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act. Mm-hmm. Yet, what did he do at the end of the trial? When Trump's lawyers wanted to bring in one of the leading experts in the nation on the Federal Election Campaign Act so that he could testify about what is considered a violation of that law, he was prevented from doing that by this judge.
That's a great point. You're talking about Brad Smith, of course, who, you know, I would say, just like you, you served on the Federal Election Commission. I think he knows his way around the election law, but didn't the Judge Merchan didn't want that because that would have driven home the point that this case is nothing but, you know, a sham, as we mentioned before. Here's something that's been gnawing at the old the noodle for a while here, and Hans, help me out with this. I'm old enough to know. I've been around the block a few times. I'm old enough to remember, because let's face it, at the root of all of this, everybody in the media, and it doesn't matter where they're from, they're all calling this the, you know, the hush fund trial, the hush money trial. And it's a non-disclosure deal. That's what it boils down to. And there are all kinds of non-disclosure agreements and people doing the same thing in Hollywood and politics that Donald Trump is supposedly had done over and over again. They don't end up before a New York jury facing 134 years in prison. You know who else had a non-disclosure agreement problem issue in his time? Bill Clinton. And we're talking about what? $700,000, $800,000? Hush money, so to speak, like the left likes to call it. How come he didn't have the same kind of problems that Donald Trump has run into?
Well, because he didn't have a biased, partisan, Democratic local prosecutor who, when he was running for office, promised he would get Donald Trump, and who sees this case as a way of pulling himself out of just being a local Democratic politician in New York and coming to national prominence with the Democratic Party. That is what's going on here. By the way, I mean, here's another issue. Look, the U.S. Constitution, the due process that is a requirement in that law, the way it's been interpreted by the Supreme Court, says that a defendant, in order to be able to defend himself, has to be informed completely of all of the charges against him and all of the laws he supposedly violated. Yeah. Well, if you look at the original indictment against him, the 34 counts, all of them are for supposedly putting in falsified business records. There is no mention whatsoever of this other statute that prosecutors mentioned and that the judge said the jury could consider, which is the a completely separate law that says you violate New York law if you conspire to promote or prevent the election of a person to public office by unlawful means. There was that count was not in there. There was no mention of a conspiracy anywhere in the original indictment. There also was no mention in the original indictment of any violation of federal law yet. The judge gave instructions saying, yeah, you could find that he violated these other laws.
What an absolute clown car. I just have 30 seconds left, and you had said it on this show last week. You didn't think he was going to get a fair decision, a fair shake from this jury. How do you feel about that, even though what this judge has done means this no matter what, goes right to appeal, and it should win on appeal, but what do you think happens next?
Well, I think it was actually good news for Trump that the jury was asking questions about particular testimony today, including that of Michael Cohen. They still might convict him, but that means they didn't immediately go in and say, oh, we've already come to our judgment. He's convicted. The fact they're asking questions, I think, is actually a good sign.
I think they did. I'm still, the jury is still out, if you'll excuse the turn of phrase. I think they already, this is a Manhattan jury, they were going to convict him, but they think there's some good Chinese in it for him one more night. So that's all I can think. Hans, as always, pleasure, and thank you for your expertise. I appreciate it.
Sure, thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a good night. Hans von Spakovsky, former Federal Election Commissioner, Senior Legal Fellow in the Heritage Foundation's Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. All around excellent legal mind. More to come. The Simon Conway Show with Kittle. Hang on.